My wife heard what I said in the early service and asked me not to embarrass her. So I started out the early service saying that I was going to get in trouble because I started out saying my wife has a problem. And she does, but it's not a bad problem. My wife is a school teacher, and those of you who know us, you know, public school is important in my family. Beth's a teacher. I was a classroom teacher. Now I'm the computer technician for Bridgeport ISD. You know, my kids, Jessica went to public school, Elena goes to public school. And for those of you that homeschool, I'm not bashing that at all. For those of you whose kids go to private schools, I'm not bashing that at all. I think there's a place for all of it. But public school is important in my family. And Beth is one of those teachers. She's the kind of teacher you want your kids to have because Beth loves kids and she loves to teach and she wants the best opportunities for her students. And so when she finds out about something or sees something or hears about something that she thinks would benefit her students, she wants to do it. Even though she doesn't have the time or the money or the resources or anything else or anybody to help. And so she is very prone to jump in and say, our kids need this, so I'm going to do it. And so she ends up being the UIL director for her campus and directing UIL while teaching UIL events. And she's the robotics coach for her campus. And she does virtual science club with her kids once a month. And just the list goes on and on. I think every day of the week she stays after because there's something that she's doing with her kids. Okay? One of the things that she does, I just mentioned, is that she coaches their robotics team. So they have a fourth and fifth grade robotics team in Paradise Intermediate School. And back in December, they had a local robotics competition because they have 10 robotics teams. That's about 40 kids. They meet after school once or twice a week and practice. And they had their area competition yesterday, but they could only send four teams to area. So back in December, they had a competition to see which four teams would get to go to the area competition. And so they picked their four teams. Elena's team was one of them. And yesterday, we were up at Paradise Intermediate School at 5:30 in the morning so we could drive Alvarado to do the area competition. There were 113 teams competing, and only two of them could advance to state. And if this was a movie or something like that, I would be telling you that the two of our teams won, but they didn't. But we had a lot of fun. It was a long, long day, and the kids learned a lot. We saw them go from, you know, they run their robot three times, and the first time they would run it, and you'd see their score. Well, then they would go back to their practice room, and they would reprogram the robot and make changes, and they'd bring it back in, and it did better the second time, and then they would go back and reprogram it again. And when they bring it in, all of our teams, I think the third run was their best run because they were learning from their experiences, learning from what worked and what didn't. And even though they don't get to go to state, we saw them improve, and it was great, and we had a lot of fun. But my wife, the reason that we have robotics at Paradise Intermediate School is because my wife and one of her friends heard about this, saw a need for it, because they're reaching kids that don't do student council, that don't do the other clubs on campus. And I'll be honest, I'm one of those kids. If they had robotics when I was a kid, oh, man, I would have been all over it. Of course, y'all know I'm a nerd. But it just would have been fun. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, I wish I'd had that opportunity. And there are kids that they're reaching through robotics that they wouldn't reach through normal academic stuff or sports or anything else. And their school wasn't offering it. And Beth saw a need, and she and her friend Stacy said, you know what, we need to do this. They don't get paid to do it. They give up lots of their own personal time to do it. And I think it's great. So, yes, I'm bragging on my wife because she's wonderful. But we're going to look at what Jesus says today. And this does tie in, I promise. So, Matthew chapter 9. This is just a retelling of what I read earlier. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to be in verse 35. And y'all are all familiar with this passage, I think. Matthew 9:35. I'll give you another second. You know, one of the problems with being a preacher is you tell them what passage to turn to, and then you can hear Bible pages flipping, except for those of you that use your phone for a Bible. And so as long as I hear pages flipping, I'm thinking I need to drag this out a little longer so everybody can get there. Because nobody likes it when the preacher says, turn to Matthew 10:35, and then starts, or 9:35, and starts reading before you get a chance to get there, right? So I'm stalling right now, and I'm not doing a very good job of it. Matthew 9:35 says this, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So Jesus is doing what Jesus does. He's going around to different towns. He's teaching in the synagogues. He's meeting with people, spending time with people, loving people, healing people, doing the things that Jesus does. And then it says this. It says, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were, let's see, what exactly does it say? It says that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus is being Jesus. He's reaching people that nobody else is reaching. He's loving people that nobody else loves. He's bringing healing to people that need healing. And it says, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them. I'm going to be honest, I am the world's worst about this. Most of us don't see people. We talk to people. We say hi to them. We ask how they're doing. But most of us don't actually see people as people. And I know that sounds horrible, but if you don't believe me, try this. The next time somebody at work asks you how you're doing, don't say fine. Start telling them how you really are and see what happens. Because they don't want to know how you really are. They're going to say, "Hi, how are you?" You're supposed to say, "I'm fine, how are you?" They're going to say, "I'm fine," and then you both go your separate ways. And that's how it's supposed to work. And if you tell somebody, "Well, you know, I was up really late last night, and I didn't sleep well, and I don't feel good," they didn't budget enough time to actually hear your answer. They're going from this place to that place, and they just wanted you to say fine, and they could say fine, and everything's good. We don't see people as people. We see people as objects. I go to school, and some of y'all work with me, so bear with me here. I go to school. I'm the computer technician for Bridgeport ISD. And when I go, I get emails about this isn't working, my computer doesn't work, or my projector doesn't work, my smart board's messed up, I need a new printer, you know, all these different things. And if I'm not careful, I don't see people, I just see jobs I've got to get done. It's very easy to do, and we're all guilty of it, but Jesus wasn't. Jesus saw people, and when he saw people, he saw the issues they had. He saw their troubles, and he felt compassion for them. And my wife, I told you there was a purpose. My wife saw a need. She saw kids that weren't being engaged. She saw kids that weren't being reached. And as a public teacher, we've got a bunch of teachers in here. As public school teachers, we deal with so many kids. And we all have our areas of interest. So we've got coaches that their job is to focus on the athletics kids. And we've got reading teachers who, you know, they teach reading, and math teachers who teach math. All these things. And it's really easy to focus on the kids that like what you're teaching. And so, Matthew, it's really easy, I would imagine, for you to really focus in on your basketball kids because you love basketball, you teach basketball, and your kids that are on your team, it's really easy to focus on those, and it would be really easy to lose the kids that aren't as basketball-oriented because you're building relationships with the kids that you spend all your time with. When I was a computer teacher, it was really easy for me to go along with the kids that liked computers. I had a little more trouble with the kids that hated my class. Yeah, there are people that hated my class. I admit it. Because sometimes they make us teach things that are boring. If they just let us do the fun stuff, education would be great. But Jesus saw people. And my wife saw a need with her kids. She wanted to engage these kids. They weren't being engaged in other ways, and so they created this robotics program. And they're reaching kids that want to do it, that are involved in other things. We had one kid, after we got done with the competition, we went out to eat. Some of the kids, their parents came to the competition, and the parents took them home. The other kids rode back on the bus with us, and we took those kids out to eat. One of the kids went out to eat with us. He was really excited about going out to eat with us. And his mom said this is the first extracurricular thing he's ever done. This is the first not, you know, first thing he's ever done with school that wasn't just, you know, go to school, sit in class, do your homework, go home, you know, that kind of thing. So we reached a kid that wasn't being reached with any of the other programs they were offering. And I bring that up for this reason. How many of y'all were here last week and saw the missions video we played? Okay. Our church does a lot of stuff. We reach a lot of people. We do a lot of ministries. Or I should say, we have people in our church that do a lot of things and reach a lot of ministries, because it's not everybody in the church. Statistically, and I know statistics aren't everything, I know that. But statistically, and I've seen this, and I think it's fairly true in most churches, but for the most part, 80% of the work that's done in churches is done by 20% of the people. Okay? Now, if you're not one of those 20% who's doing all the work, I'm not griping at you. I'm not here to judge or anything like that. But I mean, in churches, we tend to have a few people doing a whole lot of the stuff that happens. And those are the people that we tend to think are the really involved people at church. And so I was thinking, as I was preparing for this sermon, I had a long conversation with Ron Barnes last week about the ministry that the Adult 2 class has. Adult 2, they saw a need. There's something that God laid on their heart. They saw a need, and they started this ministry. Now, I'll be honest, talking to Ron, I found out that the ministry they're actually doing is not the ministry I thought they were doing. They're not running a food pantry. They're not running a clothes closet. The need they saw was this. We've got organizations in our area that provide food to people in need. We've got organizations in our area that provide clothing to people in need. They didn't want to recreate the wheel and do, you know, start doing something that somebody else was doing that they're going to have to compete with them for. We don't have the people. We don't have the resources to do some of those things. So what they decided to do is, you know, give you an example, Bridgeport Middle School. You got a bunch of kids at Bridgeport Middle School that are on a lunch program. The reason they get to eat breakfast, the reason they get to eat lunch is because they're on this lunch program at school, so they come to school and the school feeds them. Well, what happens over Christmas break when the school's not there to feed them? What happens on spring break? What happens over Thanksgiving break? Because mom and dad are at work, the kids are at home by themselves, and they don't have anything to eat. And so the student council and Larry Owens, their sponsor, said, you know what, there's a need here. We want to feed these kids. Problem is, in order to feed the kids, you have to have food to give them. And somehow Larry made contact with Adult 2, or Adult 2 made contact with Larry. They start talking, and Larry says, you know what, we need food to give these families. And Ron says, how much food do you need? And they said, we need 200 bags of food. And Ron says, you know what, we can do that. So they're not finding people that need food. They're just providing for a ministry that's already trying to do that. And I think it's great. They saw a need. They stepped in. They started doing it. But, you know, there are other types of ministry. I'm going to embarrass Bernice for a minute. Bernice Landers, our church secretary, I don't think anybody comes through her office that she doesn't tell them about Jesus. I know for a fact there have been people, you know, we'll hire somebody to come do work at the church, and I know for a fact that Bernice will stop them and say, do you know Jesus? And if they say no, then she'll say, you can't leave my office until I tell you. Okay? That's a ministry. We've got people who come to church here because Bernice talked to them about Jesus. One of the ladies that comes to our church here, Martha Montano. Martha started coming here because Bernice went to get her haircut, and while she was getting her haircut, she talked to Martha about Jesus and talked to Martha about our church. And I think that's awesome. That's a ministry. So Jesus sees the people, and he sees their needs, and he feels compassion. And here's the thing. All of us, we have different connections, different friends, different jobs, different associations. And if we would open our eyes and pay attention, we would see needs. And I would see needs that y'all wouldn't see, and y'all would see needs that I don't see, because we run in different circles and we're connected to different groups. And if we would look, and if we would pray, and if we would be faithful to where God has put us, we would start seeing needs. We would start seeing areas that things need to be done. And so Jesus sees a need, and then he says this to his disciples. He says he feels compassion for these people, and so he tells his disciples this: the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now, I'm going to be honest. I grew up in the country, but we didn't farm things. We raised animals. So I don't know a whole lot about growing things. We had a garden once, and it didn't go well, and it was a lot of work and for very little return. So some of y'all may have had better experience than I've had. I can kill plants a whole lot easier than I can grow them. But at my old church, one of the things that they talked about a lot, one of the things that was really important was hay. Because we had a lot of people who had cattle, and if you have cattle, you have to have hay to feed them in the wintertime. But we also had a lot of people that actually grew hay. Okay? And listening to them talk, and like I said, we had animals growing up, so some of my not-so-fine memories are going out when it's 20 degrees outside and putting round bales of hay out for the cows. It wasn't fun, but it had to be done. So I know a little bit about hay, and I know a little bit less, but kind of how things happen. What I know is this. Growing crops, whether it's hay or corn or wheat or whatever, is not easy. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to get to the point where you're ready to harvest it. But here he says the harvest is ready. The harvest is plentiful. The problem isn't that there's not a harvest. The problem isn't that there aren't crops. The problem is there's nobody to harvest the crops. Now, I do know this about hay. I know that actually cutting and baling hay is not easy work either. We had people who raised hay all year long. They're praying for rain, praying for rain, praying for rain. Then they cut their hay, and then they're praying it doesn't rain because they don't want it to rain until they get their hay baled. Because if it's on the ground and it gets wet, you got problems. And so it takes a lot of work. You got to have people to do it. You got to have people to, and you have to have the equipment to do it. You have to have people to run the equipment. You got to cut the hay. You've got, you know, they rake it up into rows, and then they run balers over it and bale it. And I know there's a lot more to it than that. Like I said, I'm ignorant. But once it's done, then you got it out in the field, and then you have to have somebody to pick it all up and take it where it belongs, whether put it in your barns or stack it in rows, or, you know, if you're selling it, people have to put it on trailers and take it to wherever it's going. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of people. And what Jesus says here is the harvest is ready, but there aren't enough people to gather the harvest. He says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And then he tells us what to do about it. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, there's a word here that we tend to skip over that I think is really important. He doesn't say pray. He says pray earnestly. And that word earnestly is very important. What he's saying is we need to be praying passionately. We need to be praying continually. We need to be basically begging God to send workers out into the harvest. Now, here's the thing about that. If you see people in need, if you see people and you actually see them, you see their needs and you feel compassion for them enough to say, you know what, somebody needs to meet these people's needs, and you start praying about it, and you care about enough to pray and pray and pray some more and keep praying, a couple of things are going to happen. And I think this scares some of us. When you figure this out, it gets scary. If you're praying and praying and praying for God to send someone to meet a need, you know what he's probably going to do? He's probably going to send you. No, not always. Not always. Sometimes God shows us things and we start praying and suddenly out of nowhere someone shows up who says, hey, I would like to do such and such ministry. And you're going, wow, that's really cool. God answered that prayer. Other times we pray and pray and pray and God's going, well, why don't you do it? And we're going, no, God, send somebody. And God says, I'm trying to. And we're going, no, God, send somebody. And God's going, I'm sending you. If you care about it enough to pray about it and pray about it and pray about it, you probably care enough about it to do it. Now, he says to pray earnestly. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Now, here's the thing about harvest. Harvests don't put themselves in the barn or the silo or whatever you store, whatever you're storing your crops in. Harvests don't gather themselves. They don't come to you. You have to go to them. We talked last week, Brother Gary, when he showed the missions video, and then he talked about the Great Commission. And the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all that I've commanded you to do. And Gary mentioned this last week, the word go there, if you know anything, if you're a grammar person, and I'm not, but if you're a grammar person, you know about nouns and verbs and all that stuff, the word go is not a verb. The only verb in the Great Commission is make disciples. What we're supposed to do is make disciples. The word go could just as easily be translated as you go, or while you go, or where you're going. As you're going, make disciples. As you go to work, make disciples. As you go to the grocery store, make disciples. As you go to the basketball game, make disciples. Everywhere we go, everything we do, wherever we're at, we're supposed to make disciples. But people who need to be discipled aren't going to come to us. We have to go to them. And so you see the people, you see a need. They're not going to come to you and say, we need this. We're supposed to go to them. And somewhere along the way in churches, we stopped making disciples and started inviting people to church. Somewhere along the way, we decided, you know what? I don't have to tell people about Jesus. I just have to tell them about my church. I'll invite them to my church, and I'll let Brother Gary tell them about Jesus. I'll invite them to church, and I'll let Brother Craig or Brother Mark tell them about Jesus. We'll invite them to church and let somebody else do the work, because telling people about Jesus is kind of scary. It's kind of hard. I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to do. So I'll just invite them to church and we'll let somebody else do the work. But you know, disciples don't get made in church most of the time. I was so excited that Anna came forward last week and Anna's going to be baptized. But you know what? Anna didn't get saved at church. Anna got saved at home talking to her parents. And that's awesome. And yes, we do have people who hear about Jesus. They come to church, they hear about Jesus, they go to camp and hear about Jesus, and they accept Jesus that way. But most of it doesn't happen in churches. Not if we're doing it right. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out workers into his harvest. And here's something else about harvests. There are lots of different kinds of crops to be raised. And you don't harvest them all the same way. And they're not all found in the same places. And God, if we're praying and God is sending people out, God may not send you to China or Africa or someplace like that. God may send you to Bridgeport or Chico or Decatur, someplace that you're already at. But he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And guys, understand this. The fact that the harvest is plentiful means that the planting and the watering and the growing, some of that's already happened. There are people out there that are ready. They just need someone to tell them about Jesus. And so as we wrap up this morning, I want you to think about where you go. Where do you go during the week? What places do you go? What people do you come in contact with? I go to school. I work at all kinds of different campuses, and I come in contact with kids. I come in contact with teachers. I go to the grocery store a lot. Feels like I'm always at the grocery store. Some of y'all I only ever see at the grocery store. You know, sometimes making disciples, you know, part of making disciples, you have to actually talk to them about Jesus. But sometimes making disciples is just being nice to the waitress that messed up your order. Especially on Sunday. Waiters and waitresses hate working Sundays because church crowds are rude. They are. I could tell you stories, I really could, but sometimes it's just being that person who smiles and says, how are you doing today, and actually listens to the answer. Sometimes it's talking to the girl that is running the register at Brookshire's, or the kid who carries your groceries out. You know, that's how relationships start. But I will tell you this. There was something I wanted to say earlier, and I forgot, and I just remember what it was. I'll tell you this. You are better equipped to reach your friends than I am. Why? Anybody know? Because you know them, and I don't. You've got a relationship with them, and I don't. Brother Gary said this last week. He said the majority of people who come visit a church come because somebody invited them. because one of their friends invited them. I could invite people to come to church till I'm blue in the face, and it doesn't make a difference, because you know what they're thinking? He's a youth minister. He's supposed to do that. But when you invite them to church, you've got a relationship with them, and it means something. And you know what? When you tell them about Jesus, when you share your faith, it has more impact than when I do, because they know you. It's about relationship. We've been talking on Wednesday nights with the teenagers. God is all about relationships. This morning in Sunday school, we studied the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are about our relationship with God. The last six commandments are about our relationship with people. What are the two great commandments? Love God, love people. God's all about relationships. And he will use your relationships to reach people that I can't reach because I don't have a relationship with them. You know? You can build relationships with people by saying hi to them, by being nice to them, by listening to them. And so we start making disciples wherever we go. And so I would encourage you, think about where you go. Think about the places you're at, the people you're around, the needs you see. And as you start noticing needs, start praying that God would provide people to meet those needs. But be aware that if you start praying that, he might say, "You're the one I'm sending." Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. We thank you for the gift of your word, the gift of your son. And God, I pray that this week you would open our eyes. Help us to see people the way you see them. Help us to see the needs the way you see them. And Father, I pray that it would begin to eat at us, that it would begin to bother us to the point where we are just praying earnestly, where we are begging you to send out people to reach these people and to meet their needs and to share your love with them. And God, I pray that you would bring us to the point where you're sending us out to meet those needs and to love those people and to share you with them. Father, as we have our invitation this morning, we pray that your will would be done. That no one would be manipulated, that no one would be coerced, but that you would work in people's lives and they would respond honestly and sincerely to you. Let your will be done. In Christ's name.